Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome back to Good Morning Live. It's good to be with you today from wherever you're watching from. I want to welcome everybody who's watching on TikTok and YouTube and Facebook and Instagram and X and Rumble and trying to think of what else. Of course, the Pioneer Channel, people watching all around the world. And yes, wherever you're watching from, thanks for being on with us today. If this is your first time tuning in, we like to take a little bit of time every morning, gather together online here and open the Word of God and allow it to change and transform us and help us get our day started right. So that's what we will continue to do today as we do every day. But thank you. I do appreciate you being on and taking the time out to watch this live or watch this later on a replay somewhere. And if you're watching on a platform that you can like, comment, share, subscribe, doing all of the do's, please feel free to go ahead and do that. It helps us continue to get this message out to even more people and help grow this online community. So we have been in a series. This is our second week in this series that we are calling Adulting. Adulting. And what we're doing is we are walking through the book of James and learning what it really means to grow up spiritually, not just age physically. We outline that there's a big difference between those two because not everybody who's aged physically is grown up spiritually, right? So today's teaching is called When Faith is Fake. And we're going to look at what James says about a kind of faith that talks big, right? Because that's the easy part, is to talk big. But James says that faith that just talks big is pointless if it doesn't live it out, if it doesn't live big. So grab your Bible, grab your coffee, get something to take notes with. Let's go to James chapter 2, beginning in verse 14. And here's what it says to us. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus, also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Come on. I don't know if you have taken a more of a liking to James and his writing as we've been studying this together, but I have. Man, he just doesn't play games. He doesn't hold punches. This is a strong passage. He has no problem in calling people out, right? And here's his big idea, that faith and works belong together. James is talking about real faith versus fake faith. Now listen, he's not saying here that you're saved by faith plus works. I want us to be clear on that. We're not saved by faith plus works, right? The Bible's very clear. We are saved by grace through faith in Jesus alone. All right, so just let's lay that foundation together. But here's the key thought for today, and I want you to really let this sink in. You are saved by faith alone, but the faith that saves is never alone. Let that sink in. I'm going to say it again. You are saved by faith alone, but the faith that saves is never alone. So if your faith is real, it will show up somewhere. If your faith is real, it will produce change. Even if that change is slow and imperfect, right? Think about it like this. If you grab a live electrical wire, you don't say, well, maybe, you know, something happened. No, you know something happened, right? You know if you've been electrocuted or not. In the same way, you can't truly encounter the living Christ and stay completely the same. Remember what James has been doing all along in his letter here. He's been giving us tests of spiritual maturity. Like, how do you handle trials? How do you handle temptation? This is what we've talked about over the last few days. How do you respond to the word of God? How do you treat other people? And now he moves to this fifth big test. Does your life produce fruit that matches your faith? Oh man, I love this. Does your life produce fruit that matches your faith? Not perfection, not performance to earn God's love, but evidence that grace has really grabbed your heart. James is not contrasting faith versus works. He's contrasting real faith versus fake faith. So let's walk through four marks of fake faith that James gives us in this passage. And I want you to use these, if you will, almost like a mirror, not a microscope, but a mirror. Not to examine everybody else and, you know what, I think that's so-and-so. And yeah, I could call them on that. No. Not to examine everybody else, but to honestly let the Holy Spirit examine you. Look at the verse again in verse 14. It says, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? Notice that word says. So this is the person whose entire Christian life lives in their mouth. We're getting somewhere today, right? This is the person whose entire Christian life lives in their mouth. They say they have faith. They say they believe. They might know the Christian jargon. They say, praise the Lord. They can quote a verse, talk about how long they've been in church. But James asks the question, what does it actually profit if all you have is talk, if all you do is say, right? If you say you love someone, well, there should be evidence or there should be proof in existence of that love, right? Like, you can say you love me, but if none of your actions portray that to me, I'm going to have a hard time believing that you love me just because you said it. So if a husband says, I love my wife, but never shows affection, never communicates, never sacrifices, never serves, at some point you question whether that love is real or is it just more words? And in the same way, James is saying to us, listen, if your faith is only ever spoken and not seen, that's fake faith. Real faith is not just what you say you believe. It's what you live because you believe. I hope you're taking notes or shouting me down in the comments today. But real faith is not just what you say you believe. It is what you live because you believe. We got so many people who can tell us what they believe and tell us what they believe and tell us what they believe and say it and say it and say it. But I believe God's looking for some people who will live what they believe. The evidence is in the living. So now let's look at verse 15 and 16. He says, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? So again, James is really good at giving us practical examples. He's making sure the readers understand fully what he's saying. A brother or sister, now listen, this is somebody that's in the family of God, comes into your life clearly in need. They're struggling. They don't have enough clothes. They don't have enough food. And your response is, well, bless you, I'll pray for you, be warmed and filled, and you walk away and do absolutely nothing. Listen, that's more than just unhelpful. James is saying that kind of faith is useless. This is what I would call sight without sympathy. You see a need. You might even feel a little something, a little tingling on the inside, but you don't move towards that person in love. I think it's 1 John says the same thing, that whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? See, because real faith doesn't just say, I see you. Real faith says, I see you, and I'm going to do something about it if I can. Now, of course, I want to be clear here. We can't fix every problem or meet every single need. But if we move from sympathy to action, James is saying, hey, big red flag here. Something's not right. Like, I often heard it said that you can't help everyone, but do for the one what you wish you could do for everyone, right? If your faith is never taking that step, if your faith is never sharing your salvation experience, sharing your faith with somebody else, moving in compassion to somebody who has a need. The Bible says we should be ready to give to every good work. This is why I think it's such a travesty when people, the church talks about money and how God wants to bless them, and they're either on one side, well, all the church wants is your money, they shouldn't be talking about your money, or they're on the other side saying all they want is just bless, 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 bless. Yeah, because if our faith is real, right? I know scripture says I have to take care of my own house because he who has denied the faith is worse than an infidel and denied the faith. I know I got to provide for my own home, but it says we should also lend to many nations and not borrow. We should be ready to give into every good work, right? So it's like the essence of our faith requires the blessing of God. Why? Because the more needs we see, the more compassion we have. And if our faith is real, it should move us out of just seeing into doing. But if we never move from sympathy to action, James is saying, listen, there's a problem here. Big red flag. That faith is dead. That is somebody who has profession without proof. So let's go back to the text in verse 17 and 18. It says, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. This is so important. James is basically saying, you say, well, I have faith. Show me. Faith is invisible. You can't see faith as a substance. But listen, you can see the results of faith. The same way you can't see a calorie, right? But come on, you can see the results of the calories if we have too many of them. You can't see the wind, but you can see the trees bend and the leaves move. James is saying real faith is visible in real life. And this is where some people get nervous and think that James is contradicting Paul. Why? Because Paul says we are justified by faith and not by works. And that is absolutely true. They are not contradicting each other at all. But James and Paul are dealing with two different problems here. Paul is fighting people who said you have to do works to be saved. Like you have to give so much money, you have to act this way, you have to be circumcised, you got to do to be saved. That's what Paul's fighting against. So of course he's coming on the other side and saying, no, not works, faith. And James is fighting people who said, well, you don't need any change at all. Just say some words and you're good. But Paul is talking about the root of salvation here. James is talking about the fruit of salvation. Are you following me today? Paul's talking about the root, which is faith and faith alone. But James is saying, all right, when you've received by faith and faith alone, the receiving will produce fruit in your life. If you really touched the live electrical wire, there's going to be some fruit of that. You're going to be electrocuted. I'm going to see the results. If the wind is really blowing, I'm going to see the effects of it. Are you with me? So Paul's talking about the root of salvation, which is faith and faith alone. James is talking about the fruit of salvation, the growth that happens beyond it. So Paul says, you are made right with God by faith alone. And James says, what kind of faith will not, or that kind of faith will not stay alone. It will begin to bear fruit. So real faith is not just profession, not just speaking. Real faith includes fruit. So let's go deeper into verse 19 and 20 here. It says, you believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, what faith without works, that faith without works is dead? And now James shocks us. He says, you believe there's one God. Good job. Great doctrine. But even the demons believe that and they tremble. Think about that for a minute. Demons have good theology in some areas. They believe God exists. They know that there is one God. They recognize the deity of Jesus. They know there's a real place of judgment. They know Jesus will be the final judgment. They even respond, James says, emotionally. They tremble at the thought of this doctrine. So they have right information and even an emotional reaction to that information. Man, James is preaching good. Me and that James, I think. So even the demons have right information and even an emotional reaction to that right information. But they are absolutely not saved. So James's point is strong. Because you can have accurate beliefs and strong feelings and still have fake faith. You can be around church your whole life. You can know like a duck, you know, you can know when to raise your hands and to sit down. You can get goosebumps and worship and say amen at the right time and still never truly surrender your life to Jesus. That's commotion without conversion. See, listen, real faith is not just, I'm stirred up sometimes. I cried during that song. I had a powerful moment once. Real faith is Jesus changed my heart. And that change is beginning to show up in my life. Again, not perfection. I'm not talking about we're perfect people. Not because that, you know, you're never going to have a struggle. But there is a direction of obedience, a desire to please God, and some evidence over time that your life is moving in the direction of looking more and more like God. More and more like Jesus. There's evidence then that your faith is alive. Now, let me just say this as a pastor to your heart. Jesus is not giving this to you so you will spiral into, James. James is not giving this to you so that you will spiral into condemnation or constantly doubt your salvation every 5 minutes. That's not the purpose of this. He's not saying if you don't have a perfect record, you're not saved. He is saying if your faith has never changed you at all, you need to ask whether your faith has truly saved you. Listen, we all grow at different speeds. Jesus said some Christians bear 30-fold, some 60, some 100-fold fruit. Right? Everyone's growing at a different speed. But the common denominator is that they're all bearing some fruit, some desire for God, some conviction over sin, some movement towards obedience, some love for others that wasn't there before. So let me give you, I said earlier, I was going to give you a few questions to pray through this week. You might want to write these down if you can or listen to this again. Is my faith only in my words, or is it showing up in my walk? I used to preach this, but it's not about how loud you can shout on Sunday morning. or how high you can jump on Sunday morning, but how straight you can walk on Monday morning. Is my faith only in my words, or is it showing up in my walk? When I see a real need, especially in the body of Christ, do I move toward it when I can, or do I just talk about it? Is there any visible evidence, even small, that Jesus has changed my priorities, my decisions, my relationships? Have I settled for believing about God instead of surrendering to Him? So if the Holy Spirit is nudging you as you hear this, listen, that's not to crush you. It's an invitation to let your faith go deeper and truer. But let me bring it back to the simple phrase. If your faith hasn't changed you, your faith may not have saved you. We are absolutely saved by faith alone in Jesus, not by our performance, not by our good deeds, not by cleaning ourselves up first. But the faith that saves us will begin to shape us. It will show up in how we talk to people and how we treat people, how we spend our time and spend our money and respond to God's word. Faith and works grow together like a tire and traction, right? You can't move forward without both. After pastoring all these years, that's one thing. People get saved and they come into the church, and I've seen people, I remember a gentleman who was saved and he was a military man. He had been in the military most of his life and very disciplined. Everything was in order. He was a man of, as you would picture a military person. And man, he just grew by leaps and bounds in his faith, right? Because I would teach about tithing and he would say, if the Bible says it, I'll do it. Then I didn't need to convince him, but that was just a part of his DNA. It was a part of who he was. It was a part of how he just saw the world. Like, if that's what your authority says, then you just do it. If it says to love people, then I'm going to do it, right? But not everybody grew up in a military environment and had those set of life skills, if you will, right? Some people come from trauma and mother and father figures that, were abusive and hurtful to them. And now they come in and they're surrendering to God and it's hard. It's like, well, you want me to trust you? And no adult in my life have I ever been able to trust, and no authority over me has ever treated me well. And so for somebody else, it's going to be a little bit of a struggle. So I don't want you to hear this and say, well, we're looking for perfection. No. Everyone bears fruit differently at different stages. But what James is saying here is, if your life isn't in some way moving forward, if you can't look back and say, you know what? Since I received by faith, there's been improvement. I've been changing. I've been going forward. Then James asked the question, then were we really saved by faith? This is why, man, I just love the book of James. I know that's hard. It hurts. It's like, no, don't say that to me. But James says, come on, let's walk this thing out. Let's adult. That's why we're calling this whole series adulting. Let's walk this thing out. Let's look at this. Let's dive in. Let's figure out what God's saying here. I want to pray for you really quickly. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for loving us enough to give us honest truth through the book of James. Thank you that we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus alone. And we thank you that your Spirit doesn't leave us where you found us. But Lord, would you search our hearts today? Where our faith has become just words, would you wake us up? Where we've seen needs and stayed distant, move us to compassion and action. Where we've settled for information without transformation, breathe fresh life into our hearts. Make our faith real, living, active, and visible for your glory and for the good of people around us. In Jesus' name. As I was just praying that prayer, I was thinking, we often hear the verse of scripture that greater works, we will do than what Jesus did, because that's what the Bible does say. We'll do even greater works. And, especially in Pentecostal charismatic movements, man, we love to say that greater works, greater works, greater works, prophesy, raise the dead, you know, all of the things, the, you know, the healings, the miracles. But, you know, many, many times in scripture, the Bible says that Jesus was moved with compassion. Like even the feeding of the 5,000, it was lunchtime. They were hungry. And it says Jesus was moved with compassion. I just, you know, say that our faith isn't just about raising the dead. Our faith isn't just about healing the sick. Yes, it includes all that. Don't get me wrong. I'm not dissing any of that. But I'm saying our faith should also, just like it did on Jesus, move us with compassion. Move us with a heart for people. Move us to see people differently. Move us to do as much good in this world as we possibly can. Are you with me today? So come on, I pray that this message has blessed you and encouraged your life and inspired you and said, Lord, maybe there's some areas in my life where my faith has been dry and dormant. But James is saying, come on, step it up. We got to walk this thing out. As much as we've received it, we got to live it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to remind you tonight, Hope City Church, be there. Youth starts at 6:30. Prayer starts at 6:30. And then we'll move into the service at 7. From 7 to 8, we have kept our word to you every time and had you out here by 8 o'clock. So I pray in Jesus' name that I see it tonight at Hope City Church. And yeah, either way, I will see you back here tomorrow morning as we continue the study through James on Good Morning Live. Amen. Be blessed. Go with God. And remember that God loves you. He's not mad at you. And he has a wonderful plan for your life. Bye-bye for now.